At that time when Jesus was come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will. Be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, See thou tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer a gift which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion, making answer, said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled, and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at the same hour. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. For I am a man subject to authority. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Even though I wouldn't recommend it to my fellow priests, being treated 10 months for cancer is a great source for a lot of sermon stories. So here's one of them today. The doctor in charge of my chemotherapy was a fallen away Catholic. He was a little older than I and was educated during the era immediately following Vatican II, the 1960s, by the Boston Jesuits. Now, even before Vatican II, the Boston Jesuits had a reputation for liberalism and for modernism. The one thing he learned from them, the doctor told me, was to question everything, and that included especially the Catholic faith. In a profession where so many members think they're God anyway, this was easy advice to follow. So as regards Catholic teaching, the doctor ended up believing just about nothing. So it was once or twice over the course of treatments from him that the doctor would slide in a slightly skeptical remark about religion, which I naturally would parry. After several months, the chemo ended, and I went back to see him for a final consultation before surgery. The treatment, the doctor told me, was a success. The cancer was contained. This was wonderful news. After thanking him and praising his skill and his insight, I told him I was now putting my priest hat on to offer him a diagnosis of my own. Roughly, I told him this. I had a lot of non-medical people from all over the world urging me to try all sorts of alternative cures for cancer. carrot juice, latrile, enzymes, chelation, etc., etc., etc. But, doctor, I came to you and followed your advice for one reason. You are a medical doctor who speaks with authority. Because of generations of science behind what you say. So despite what the Jesuits taught you, that is how faith and religious belief are supposed to work for every Catholic. Christ spoke with authority. He revealed what we needed to believe to get to heaven, and he gave the church authority to explain it, which he did through developing the science of sacred theology. Your obligation as a lay Catholic is to assent to those truths because of the authority of the revealer. That is the definition of faith. It is what God reveals and we submit to that get us to heaven. That and nothing else. Otherwise, you're making it all up on your own. You have chosen the apricot pit cure or the carrot juice cure. And in the long run, these will do you no good at all. He was taken aback, I suppose. Doctors aren't used to being talked to this way in their own examination rooms. But his reaction showed he understood my point. Because he drew an analogy on the importance of authority to events in a drama he had seen the day before. To sweeten things up a little bit, I gave him a rosary and a pamphlet on how to say it, and we parted very amicably. In November, I had my operation. I went back to see the doctor a week ago and got another good report from him. It seems that the surgeons, in removing one tumor, had found another type of cancer that had been completely undetected previously. And they'd gotten that out as well. He said, there must have been a second angel sitting on my shoulder. However, there was a bit more verbal sparring to be had. The doctor told me that he'd been quite touched by the gift of the rosary, and that he had hung it on the side of his office computer. Told me its presence surprised people because he did not have a reputation there for being religious. But, he said, as I got onto the examining table, he was, quote, spiritual but not religious. You don't say that to me. Immediately I said, that's idiotic. You can't have one without the other. But because of his crafty Jesuit training, he came back with this as he was helping me to lie down. It depends on who's defining the terms. To which I reply, and they have to be defined by someone with real authority to do so. But doctor, I guess you know where this analogy is going. He got the point, and he laughed. When he saw me off, I put in a gentle pitch for him to take the rosary off his computer and to try to say at least one decade for the virtue of faith. If he does that, who knows where the grace may then lead him. The foregoing illustration has been perhaps a little too long for a sermon, so I will limit myself to a few more remarks. The misunderstanding and indeed distortion of the term faith and of the phrase I believe is absolutely everywhere in modern discourse. Press the average modern believer on the meaning of either term, and eventually you will get him down to one of two things. First of all, private judgment. Well, I think Jesus meant. Or two, feelings, sentiment, emotion. I feel that God wants me to be happy. X, Y, or Z makes me happy. Therefore, X, Y, or Z are what God wants for me. It is absolutely essential for true Catholics like ourselves to recognize how this error pops up everywhere. And when it does, we should never let it slide by. Its roots are the private judgment principle and the being saved experience of classic Protestantism. This is coupled with the principle of modern philosophy that there is no objective truth to be gotten, because everything is relative. Everything we suppose, but the statement that there is no objective truth. For the Catholic, though, faith is not mere private judgment or personal feeling. It is instead an assent to truths which cannot be proved by human reason, but which rests on the authority of God, who has revealed certain truths to us and who can neither deceive nor be deceived. That's exactly what you see in the story of the centurion. The centurion believed Christ was omnipotent. He could therefore cure even at a distance. He took Christ at his word because he knew his word had authority. Say but the word. We have not seen Christ, but we believe. We assent to the truths he has revealed. We have testimony of them in the Gospels, the miracles, the prophets. We believe because God has revealed these truths in the inspired books or through the authentic magisterium of Christ's church. Our knowledge is not blind. It is like our good doctor's medical knowledge, based on evidence and systematically explained by generations of experts in another science, sacred theology. And since this knowledge comes from God, who can neither deceive nor be deceived, it is the firmest of evidence. The centurion, a military man, understood the need for submission to authority. And it was his submission to authority that Christ himself called faith. Do not, despite the error being everywhere around you in modern life, equate faith with feeling. For the Catholic, when it comes to a proper understanding of the word faith, feel is a four-letter word. Don't use it. Feeling has to do with sentiments and with emotions, which we know are so often unruly, disordered, and hard to control. Emotions are like young kids in the back seat of your car. Dad and mom are in the front seat, the intellect and the will, as it were. They may know the destination, the route to take, and decide to drive there. They're supposed to be in control. But if the kids in the back seat are allowed to misbehave so much and get out of control, we know what the scene is. Stop that. The more disorderly they are, the harder it is for the parents in the front seat to concentrate on the route and to get everyone to their goal. Mom and dad may get distracted, get lost, start fighting with each other, or even get into an accident. That is why the intellect and the will, under the influence of divine grace and their submission to the authority of God, this rather than feeling is the key to the definition of faith. As a black Baptist preacher, or even Bishop Williamson in one of his more poetic moods might say about the centurion, it wasn't no feeling that got him the healing. He bowed to the truth of the Lord God revealing. It can be done either in a black preacher accent or in a Bishop Williamson accent. Take your pick. Be sure that your understanding of faith, and I believe, corresponds with the true meaning the church gives these terms. When you hear others distort them, it should be a relatively simple matter to gently set them straight. You could say something like this, that we adhere to religious truths not because of private judgment or our feelings. These can and they do deceive us an awful lot. But we adhere to them because God Himself has revealed them. He can't deceive us. He only speaks the truth. And we have to submit to it. Otherwise, all our talk about faith, belief in God, is for each of us just talk about little old me. Pray that more men of our age come to the faith of the centurion. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.